Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to gold, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it,
down bar, he went looking for a drink, wasn't looking very hard. She was sitting on his seat when he came out the door. She said, run away with me. You'd heard the line before. He said, better man than me. I've been all but left behind.
Everybody, welcome to another show. We're going to have a little bit of a different show today. I don't know if this is going to turn into a downer show. I feel like shit. You know, I don't feel good or happy. But this could work out. Let's not shit all over it before it's even begun. Let's just see where the night and the terrible beer takes us. Hey, everybody. So I've been meaning to do this for a long time. This is the tale of my motorcycle, which came to be named Nicanor Jr., of course. A couple years ago, took a motorcycle class, got a motorcycle, and then, things took a turn. So, hopefully you enjoy this story. You know, this is probably more in line with one of the other sad ones. We had a one like this, I don't know, probably like in 2011, 2010. How long has this shit been going on? I'll look it up for you at the end here, if you really want to know the other heart-wrenching episode that I can think of off the top of my head. But for now, let's just enjoy this one, huh? So how did this start? How did this all begin? How did one as unlikely as myself become a man of the streets, a two-wheeled man of the streets? How did someone like me, who had never actually ridden on a motorcycle, come to be a terrible motorcyclist, but, you know, managed, never crashed, not one crash, can you believe it? I almost can't believe it. Well, combination of factors. There were two big factors, I would say, contributed to this whole affair. Factor number one, and these are in reverse order, I'd say. No, we'll go in order. Factor number one, biggest factor. Why does anybody do anything? The answer is because of a girl, right? Do we ever do anything for any other reason? Is there any other reason to do anything? I don't know if anything would exist if not for that. And maybe now, maybe. Maybe once you age, maybe that's the gift of age, is that you're not controlled, you know? It doesn't feel like your sperm direct your travels. Your sperm does not say to your brains, hey, either you shoot us out or we're coming up there to fight. And we are sperm and you're a brain. You might be able to send something out to stop us, but if we get up there, we're going to fuck some shit up. I don't think you should have sperm in your brain. I'm not a doctor, in case that's not already clear at this point, but I don't think sperm in the brain is something good. It's so out of line. It's not even something in operation that you remove. By the way, I hated that fucking game. The worst game. Removing tiny bones from a thing and then it buzzes. Could anyone actually do that shit? And if you could, why are you wasting your time playing Operation? That game should have been like The Last Starfighter. If you can do this, then a fucking spaceship comes down and takes you to medical school. Or, I don't know, jewelry school? What? I don't know which professions require a steady hand. I wouldn't think that surgery, for the most part, requires that steady of a hand, unless you're doing stuff, I don't know, what's tiny, baby surgery? You're doing surgery on a baby's heart, maybe? I don't know. Seems like they have all these devices now anyway. Who cares? So, of course, it had something to do with a girl. Here's what happened. I had a dry spell. Some would call it a dry spell, okay? Myself, I would call it an average distance time between relationships. Average is probably 2 years. So, pretty Mojave, is that the biggest desert? Sahara? One of those bad deserts, the Badlands, the dry lands, the dry docks. Everything's dry. Nothing going on. This was a real bad one, too. You know, we're already talking about sperm. What the hell? We're not even 10 minutes in, but I gotta say, being single in 2013... is much better than it was in 2009, for the simple reason that I have wireless internet and masturbatory options. Now, at this time, I could occasionally capture a wireless signal from another apartment in my building, I assume. This was a process that involved standing on top of my bed, holding my laptop in one arm, up almost to the ceiling. By performing this maneuver, sometimes I could capture a wireless signal. So modifying that by throwing an office chair on top of my bed, tilted to the highest possible height that its crazy pneumatic tube would go, once in a while I could look at genuine internet pornography. I mean, if you ever want to know the lengths that someone will go to, just thinking about that, I mean, that's pretty embarrassing, right? I don't even go as far as if someone walked in and did that, because I just fucking told everybody that that's what was happening. But the image of it is kind of startling, isn't it? If you came in and had, you know, stripped to the waist, probably still had a shirt on and socks, maybe a shoe, and I'm trying to balance an office rolling chair on my bed while, you know, twin bed, standing there trying to beat off while not falling off the bed. My computer, too, only had probably about a 20-minute battery. It was a total piece of shit. So, you know, there was a clock there. And you never knew when the signal was going to go out. It didn't last too long. So if that signal goes out, yeah, you can't be picky. That's all I'm saying. 2013, game changer. Okay? Everything's different now. I'm so happy. So I was at the end of a dry spell, met a real nice lady. I cared for her very much. You know, she has a special, special place for me. In me. Around me. For me. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for her. For me. You know, probably some of my happier days were times we spent together. So, you know, whirlwind romance happens over the summer. One of these big things. Now, she was younger, and she was going to go to school. Now, she wasn't 17. If she was 17, I don't know. I guess I would have married her, probably. She would have been perfect. As long as she was underage. That was the one problem, is she was of age. No, but she went to school late. She was going to go to school far away. Pretty damn far away, about 8 hours away, driving. So we had this kind of whirlwind romance thing, and then decided to do the long distance romance. Continue. Which, Everyone will tell you don't do it. Everyone will say don't do the long distance romance. It never works. Well, I mean, the long distance part of ours worked. It sucked, but it was brief. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The point is, everyone will tell you not to do it, but anyone, if you actually like somebody, what are you going to do? Not do it? I mean, fuck that shit. It's not like I could get on a plane right now and be with someone I love. That's not a possibility. The barriers are far greater than that. So if you think about it, getting on a plane or driving 8 hours sucks balls, but, you know, it's a good relationship, it's worth it. And what else are you going to do? I mean, who, I don't know, I'm just not that guy. I'm not the guy. I was talking to somebody at work the other day who was asking me about, what did you call it, hit it and quit it. She said, you've never hit it and quit it. And I said, I don't know what that means. She said, you know, had sex with somebody and then left. And I said, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever had sex with someone. I mean, does it count if you've been dating for 5 months and you have sex and then they go home because it's the middle of Saturday afternoon? That's a no. That does not count as hitting it and quitting it. Apparently, this is if you sleep with someone and you never see them again. I said, no, actually, I haven't done that. I don't know. These opportunities do not come up, surprisingly. Surprisingly, no one kicks the door down while you're doing your fucking podcast and says, let's have sex, and then I will immediately leave and we'll never contact each other again. But I don't know. I'm all fucked up. I don't think I would enjoy that anyway. Probably my hit it and quit it years are long past the years where that would even be a reasonable idea. I don't think those are going to exist anymore. Furthermore, I'm not going to say that. So here's the thing. Super in love. Don't want to be with anybody else. But now she's 8 hours away, so I have a lot of time to kill. There are two things. Myself having ended, you know, a few long-term relationships, there are two things you always discover at the end of your long-term relationships. Number one is that you have a lot more money. I don't know why. I don't know where it goes. I feel like whenever I dated somebody, they paid a decent amount, but it's you just have more. It just works. I don't know why. I don't know. I have no explanation for that, but there you go. Number two, so I don't know if you're feeling like your money is running dry, maybe break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend or get divorced and then see how your individual fortunes, let those amass a little bit and then get back together. Although then you just have to wine and dine each other again, so who knows? I don't know. It's too bad. It's too bad for the world that I'm not a heterosexual girl. Because it would be so easy to wine and dine me. They would say, I have a pizza, and I have 3 beers left of a six-pack, which I don't want. Why don't you come over after you're done doing your podcast? And I'd say, I can't drive because I'm too loaded. I'd be the easiest girl in the world. I would have been hit it and quit it a lot. I don't like that term, hit it and quit it. That sounds abusive. I smacked her around and then stopped smacking her around. So here's the thing. I had a lot of time is the other thing. Because you'll have a... You're not doing these dates. Even if you talk on the phone, this is the hardest part of the long-distance relationship. You feel like you should talk on the phone every day for an hour. And if you don't, something's not going right. The truth of the matter is you should probably talk 3 days a week for a half hour. And when you see each other, it's better. And plus, if someone had to go away, if someone had to leave... I think that they should be doing whatever they had to leave for, right? There should be a good reason they left. So you shouldn't have a bunch of fucking time. If you can have all that time to talk on the phone, then one of you should just move where the other one is. That's the other thing I want to say. I think this long-distance relationship is a young man's game and young woman's game. If at this point I was dating someone who decided to move far away, I don't know. I think I couldn't help but feel, I'm just more of a sensitive pansy at this point in my life. I couldn't help but feel that they had decided that their life here versus their life wherever they were going, they wanted that other life. And, you know, I'm part of that equation. But if our relationship wasn't enough to keep somebody in the area, then I don't know. That's okay. I'm not saying that's not okay. But will people just stop breaking my fucking heart already? That's all I'm asking. All these creative ways. People are very creative. Okay. Lots of time. I'm not going to say lots of money. More money. Time and money. And the thing is, I'm not going to spend this time and money going out to bars and stuff. Also, young man's. There's a difference between the way a young man goes to a bar and an older guy. Right now, I go to a bar, and the way I pick the bar is I get on Yelp and say, best hamburger, and that's where I go. Back then, I would only go to a bar if there were chicks there, which I don't know why. I've never met anyone in a bar. Yeah, again, that's probably a part of this is all coming together in my non-hit it or quit it abilities. But now I see the value of a bar because I think I like booze more than I should, and also, I don't know. I don't care to go there and meet somebody. It doesn't matter. That part's less important. If someone told me, okay, this bar is filled with single eligible women, but the hamburgers are terrible, I'd really have to think about it. It would really depend on what kind of mood I was in that day. You know, beautiful single women or the best hamburger of your life. I don't know. If it's meant to be, I could probably meet the woman somewhere else, right? If this is guaranteed to be the best hamburger of my life, that's an experience I'll talk about forever. And I guess I would talk about it forever if I met my future wife somewhere, but the batting average of good hamburgers at bars I've been to is high, and the batting average of people that I end up hitting and quitting, HQing, very low. So the smart bet is to go with the burger, I think. Maybe it would depend how hungry I was. You know, if they just caught me after I left fucking Wendy's, what am I going to do? I mean, I probably couldn't go to the girl bar then either because I'd say, well, I'm going to have to take a terrible crap in the next 45 minutes for sure. So I don't want to meet my future wife and then say, huh, I didn't tell you that I took a huge dump that was gray while you were in the other room. So, these two factors were probably the biggest factors keeping me away from doing something like taking a motorcycle class. Because, you know, you got to commit a weekend, and it costs $250, which is a steep amount. Now, what directed me towards motorcycle class, however, was one of my favorite, I'll say my favorite radio show, Red Bar Radio. At about this same time, spring 2009, the host of that show, Mike, took his motorcycle class. I have a brief clip. We'll listen to this clip where he talks a little bit about it. Here we go.
I mean, for all the non sequiturs, we've had this show.
Who?
Nothing.
Sublingual non sequiturs.
I have another announcement here.
My first improv group.
This is usually where people start tuning out on the podcast. About an hour in. We're about an hour in. This is where people start tuning out.
But if they tune out, they know they're fucking dead, right? I mean, they know that.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they're given a dollar or not.
What are they going to do? Talk to
Drew
a friend?
And I,
they don't have friends.
We see them. Drew and I will get in our car tonight and kill them.
Our car, right?
Your shared vehicle.
I love that when you have a car and the other people are like, no, we'll give you a ride. It's like, oh, yeah, no, that's good. I'm glad we signed up for that. Ryan.
I have an announcement. It's a real positive announcement. It's something I've been talking about 7 or 8 months. It's something that Dean didn't think that I could ever do. And I want to announce right now that as of yesterday, I have a motorcycle license.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I thought you were going to say motorcycle, and then I was going to call you an asshole for selling my microphone so that you can get a motorcycle. But
Dean, there were 50 questions on the test. How many do you think I got wrong?
Zero.
Three.
Oh, okay.
I got three wrong.
Was that the allotted amount you could
10,
get wrong?
4%.
10. Really?
I also want to make note that in my class of 12, I finished 10 minutes before the second person that finished. I was the first one to finish the test. I handed it to the teach, And it was 10 minutes before the next person finished the test.
Did they seem like a sharp...
Which means no extra points.
They were all from Nigeria. They didn't speak a word of English.
Really?
Yeah, it was very strange. It was like...
I didn't know Nigerians were a motorcycle group.
They're not. It's this new 9/11 thing that they're doing.
And that which
they're
makes
all
no
getting
sense.
Motorcycles yeah. now to crash them into convenience stores. It's going to be weird.
Well, yeah,
it's that's taking down our lotto machines.
That's a weird revolution.
Yeah.
But I think they just want to take out one aisle. There's real small terrorists.
Sure.
That, you know,
yeah,
like,
they don't.
Just take out the crap.
Just the chips.
Yeah,
because it's the messiest. Right. Yeah.
Murder themselves on a motorcycle.
The popcorn chip and pretzel aisle.
But no Slurpees for you. Rum, and these fucking bombs.
This is exciting for you, especially. Get your laughs out. This is exciting for you because you no longer have to take cabs here because I will pick you up every day on my motorcycle.
Right, that is forthcoming.
Have you ever put your hands on my tummy?
I haven't. I mean, I guess I'm going to have to. I think I'm going to do the shoulder thing.
Do you have a helmet for him?
I will buy him one.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's a little kid's bicycle helmet. You'll be fine. I'm a real expert driver. 3 wrong on the test.
Right. Well, that means you can comprehend actual driving.
You should get him a roller derby helmet and the pads.
Just elbow pads.
Roller derby. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
elbow pads. Or sorry.
Wrist guards.
I would have wrist guards for sure.
However,
so slide.
I did the worst out of my class
and
on
some
the riding test.
Some Spider-Man shooters.
No, you did worst?
I did the worst on my riding test out of the whole class. Out of girls.
Wait,
out of fat
worst,
black
worse than the woman who fell off her bike?
No, she was kicked out of the class.
Yeah, she was kicked out of the class.
You had to ride a motorcycle essay? What are we talking about?
I took a motorcycle riding course.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to write an essay about your love of motorcycles.
No, this is good. For those
it's
who
like,
don't
it's
know.
Like it's like entrance into Columbia College. You need to write something about how much you love motorcycles.
500 words on motorcycles.
No. This is good that
motorcycle
you know.
History.
At the end of last summer, for some reason I got the itch that I need to be a motorcyclist.
Okay.
I had never spoken about this ever before. All of a sudden, one day, I want to ride a motorcycle.
Okay, so that gives you an idea, right? That's the best show, by the way. If you want to listen to a show, you know, there's this show and that show. That's a good show. Everything that's funny about me is something I probably stole from that show, because these shows are tattooed on my fucking brain. So I got to thinking, you know what? Why the hell not? Why not learn to ride a motorcycle? Because here's what happens. You watch these fucking action movies, and what happens is a guy will get a gun, and he just knows how to work a gun. Have you ever held a gun? It's fucking crazy. It's impossible. There's a switch. I don't know what that does. There's another switch. I don't know what that does either. I'm pretty sure I have to hit one of them, but I don't know which one. There's a clip or a magazine. I don't know what the difference is. All kinds of shit like that. But, you know, they just pick up any fucking gun and just start shooting at asshole terrorists. Meanwhile, if that was me, I'd pick it up and probably just have to use it to try and bludgeon somebody to death. That would be my best chance for preventing 9/11. It would be throwing a gun at a plane careening into a building. That's all I got. That's my one move. Why am I talking about that? Oh, okay, so they do all this stuff in action movies. No one in action movies ever says, like, I don't really know how to use this kind of gun. This is some weird Russian shit. Or no one says, ooh, this is a stick. I can't drive stick. So another thing they do is they'll just jump on a motorcycle and they tear off. Everybody's doing that in these movies. So I think to myself, well, maybe I could have one skill. It'd be pretty cool to have ridden a motorcycle at least once. Just why not? Why the hell not? Why not do it? Ride it once. If it sucks, you won't be able to do it. Also, on this same Red Bar Radio show, they had some pretty good episodes where he talked about... there was one where he talked about a street sweeper. He had a run-in with a street sweeper. He ended up getting a scooter, and he would ride it up the bike lane to get by traffic. And some guy driving a street sweeper saw him and chased him. Apparently a street sweeper can go 40 on city streets. That's possible. There's also, you know, but the thing he kept saying was, this is the most fun thing you can do. It's crazy that this is legal. And if you just go to the class and follow the directions, any idiot can do that. And I thought to myself, this guy's right. Because if you look, if you're driving and you just look at the people driving motorcycles, they all look like fucking complete idiots. I just saw a guy driving a motorcycle yesterday, topless. Big fat dump, driving a motorcycle, looking like a piece of shit. And it's the stupidest thing. Not because I think, oh, he's going to fall off and hurt himself, because what do I care? If that guy hurts himself, believe me, any guy who takes his shirt off before he gets on his fucking motorcycle, I'm not worried about whether or not he gets hurt. I don't think that's going to affect, you know, my ability to do my job. Oh my God, that was the president, that was the CEO of a company. How are we ever going to get things figured out here? You know, it's never anything like that. It's just, this is some shithead who can't wear a shirt. Any of them, just look at them. So when you start to look at the people and you think, I think everything I can do, they can't do. There's no way that person knows how to open a WordPress site. And that's not that hard, but I guarantee you, if you said that to them, they would have no fucking idea what they were talking about. And they'd probably just take their shirt off and then raise an eyebrow like, is this what you're talking about? Is this opening a WordPress site? Is that how the kids say, take off your shirt and display your horrible torso and your thin-looking arms? Your arms look so thin just because your torso is so rotund and doughy. And I'd say, no, that's not a WordPress site. I appreciate the effort, but fuck no. So I think I could do this. Got the time, I've got the money, I've got the motivation. So I sign up for the class. Say, fuck it, I'm doing it. So I sign up for this class, and the first thing you get in the email is a list of supplies that you need. You need to bring. Now, skill-wise, it said you must be able to ride a bike, which I'm not good at. I'm not going to lie. And I have terrible balance. Anyone will tell you, anyone who's known me, if we walk for more than a block, I'll trip off the curb. Guaranteed. Every fucking time. Bike, I've never had a real serious dust-up on a bike, but every time I ride a bike is a close call, a series of close calls. I don't know. I can't do it. It's hard. I don't know how people do it. It's just too hard. So I sort of had that. I figured, fuck it. I can ride a bike as good as probably anybody, right? I rode my bike that week before the class and was thinking, I could do this. That's how bad I am at bikes. I had to make sure I could actually ride a bike. So I was thinking, it's been a while. I don't know. And I think I could ride it in a straight line as long as I don't have to stop and there's no things to go over. Next on the list they had that you needed over-the-ankle boots. You need to wear these tall boots. Which is, again, if you see anyone riding a motorcycle, almost none of them are wearing boots. The reason you wear the boots is so you don't burn your legs on the pipes. There's a bunch of shit that's hot. The thing is, people don't know about a motorcycle. You're seeing it. It would be sort of like if you got out of your car and then had to swing your leg over everything underneath your car or the whole engine. You're sitting, it's like if you put a chair on top of an engine and just drove it around. It's very hot. So I had snow boots is what I wore. North Face snow boots. My feet were so fucking sweaty by the end of the first day. I had to just bring them home and turn them upside down on sticks so they could dry out, and they never recovered. They've always had a scent. I can only wear them in the bitterest cold of weather because otherwise my feet start sweating, and as soon as they get heated in there, it reactivates the stench, which was caused by a summertime/falltime motorcycle class. You also had to have eyewear. Now, this is a law in Colorado that you have to have eyewear. However, any glasses or sunglasses qualify. So I guess that's fine. I mean, my windshield has 5,000 cracks in it, and it's meant to take these hard hits. But if I just buy something off that shitty pug eyewear station at the gas station, they're like, oh, that's fine. You know, those look pretty cool. What are those, women's knockoff Gucci? That's perfect. Enjoy. You also needed to wear full finger gloves. Now, full finger gloves, the only version I had of those was winter stretchy gloves from Target that cost $4. I didn't own any other gloves of any sort. What I ended up doing, so I went to the Harley store because I said, I don't really know what glove, what are they talking? Is there a motorcycle glove? Is that a thing? It is. I went to the Harley store just to find out. You know, I thought, I'll go to the Harley store and see what they have. And based on what they have, I'll know what to get at the regular store. So I get there. Here's how it works at the Harley store. Bunch of tattooed assholes working there. Swarm you. They swarm when you come in. Dude, you're going to buy, what kind of bike you looking for? What do you ride now? When they find out you, A, don't even know how to ride a motorcycle, and B, have no plans to buy a motorcycle, they fucking vanish. So that's a good thing to say, is say, well, I got a class coming up, so I'm just kind of looking. Never done it before. I'll leave you alone. I'll tell you what else they sell a lot of. There's a lot of Harley merch that I don't think is really necessary. Anything that you want with a Harley Davidson logo on it is possible. There's ridiculous shit. I mean, you know, you could get probably some kind of chess set. You know, take the Sharper Image catalog, put a plastic transparency overlay on it with Harley Davidson logos. That gives you an idea of what's inside the Harley store. But you can also, the worst one, I thought, the most egregious, was Harley Davidson floor mats. Why? For your car. So your truck would have Harley Davidson floor mats. Now, Harley Davidson does not make a truck. You cannot buy a Harley and pull up in a truck. A Harley is a motorcycle. A motorcycle does not have a space for floor mats. It doesn't have a space for one floor mat. This is not possible. So why they would make a Harley floor mat blows my fucking mind. It's like if Schwinn made floor mats for your fucking car. You know, that's a real good analogy. If Schwinn did the thing that Harley actually does, that would be as equal. That will really help you understand what I'm trying to get at here. He also had a lot of nice jewelry in the store. You know, they always have this jewelry, and it's the shitty Harley jewelry. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get the jewelry. The Harley, you know, who's going to buy their wife a Harley necklace with diamonds in it? What is that? What kind of life are you living that that's appropriate? You can't just buy someone fucking nice. It's got to have a brand on it. Oh, yeah, I bought my wife this tennis bracelet. It's the Swiffer new bracelet. It's really great. I don't know. The thing is, everybody, when you ride a motorcycle, everybody asks if it's a Harley. Everybody will ask you that. Oh, do you ride a Harley? Oh, are you riding a Harley? And let me tell you something. You know who rides Harleys? Fucking investment bankers and shit like that. Nobody who is even remotely poor rides a Harley. I can't imagine how anyone can afford a Harley. A used Harley, oftentimes more expensive than a new Harley. You have to get in line and wait for a new Harley. You have to get on a list and wait, and they build them, and then you can buy them. They cost more than many cars. It's crazy to drive a Harley. It's the stupidest thing in the world. I don't know. Anyway, so I ended up looking at the gloves. They were, I don't know, $80, and I said, fuck that shit. I'll just color my hands black with a marker if those are my options. So what I did is I ended up going to a sporting goods store and buying black batting gloves that were on clearance. I figured, fuck it, what are they going to do? They're not going to inspect my gloves. This is good enough. Then I went to the class. Now here's the thing. Here's how I pictured the class. I thought we'd show up, maybe smoke some cigarettes, listen to some AC/DC or something. Then we'd drive around and do some, you know, driving around on the motorcycles, cruising. We'd cruise in a big pack. Then they'd show us how to smoke while on the motorcycles. We'd go to a bar, get in a fist fight. end of class. That is not what happened at all. We did not do any of those activities whatsoever. You show up bright and early at 8 a.m. Wish I had like 8 a.m. music. You show up bright and early at 8 a.m. Tired as fuck. You know, it's real adamant about be there at 8 a.m. If you are not in the classroom at 8 a.m., you're fucked, my friend. You are fucked. So, of course, we're all standing there waiting for the instructors to show up for probably 20 minutes. Thinking, maybe they're not coming. And you know how it is when you wake up early for something and you think, actually, if nobody else shows up for this, I'm kind of okay just going home and going back to bed. That would not be a huge problem for me. But of course they showed up, our instructors. Our instructors, Bob and Bob. Both named Bob. But two differenter Bobs you could never have found. One, Bob, was thin, had a ponytail. You know, he's kind of a burnout hippie type, I would say. Most notable feature, other than that, faded unicorn tattoo on his bicep, which was very visible during the class, the entirety of the class. So not only did he get a unicorn tattoo, but he'd had this tattoo for easily 20 years. Unbelievable. Unicorn. I don't get it. The other Bob, chubbier, pretty nice, kind of vaguely cop-like. You could see him having been a cop in another life. He had those glasses. He looked like the fat guy from Super Troopers. Don't say anything Super Troopers-y. Don't quote it. Let's just look at the face and move on. Other people in the class. So you get to the class. First half of the day is the worst. You just sit there and you watch fucking videos. And they're the kind where it's a guy and he's in these crazy looking racing leathers from Demolition Man, and he's got a helmet and he says, I'm going to show you your T-clocks. And they have all these acronyms to help you remember what to do. You know, it's like, check your tires, check the cables, check the levers, all this stuff. And you're just watching this going, my God, is anyone really doing that? You check the tires every time you go out, give me a fucking break, and the levers. I'll tell you when I'll figure out the levers don't work is when I go careening into the side of a fucking Deep Rock truck. So you're watching these videos. Just to show you how little I know about motorcycling, we're watching this video and it starts showing the shifting pattern. And this was the first time I discovered, oh, okay, so these are like a manual transmission. Didn't even know that. I didn't know. Fuck it. What do I know? So then it's showing the shifting pattern for 2 seconds, and then it goes back to talking about how it's important to wear thick clothes. Which, again, I don't know. I mean, I guess you don't get your skin all burned off if you fall down. But if you go flying off of your motorcycle and careen into a ditch head first and split your head open on a rock, what difference does it make what you're wearing? It'd be like if I was in a cardboard box and they dropped it out of a plane, I think I'd be fucked. I don't think it would really matter. But, you know, they tell all this stuff and the important information. So then you get partnered up. We get ready to go riding. Ride to die. So my partner was a kid named Ryan from Hawaii. That's all I really know about him. There are a couple other people in the class. There's a guy named Kyle who was a real douche. He clearly already knew how to ride a motorcycle. So he was screwing around the whole time. And I don't know what he was doing, why he needed to get the thing. You can just go and take your test. I don't know. I didn't like Kyle. However, I did like Mary. Now, Mary and I are not friends in any way. Mary was a hefty woman in her mid to late 50s who we learned in the class had been riding on the back of Harleys since she was young but had never actually driven a motorcycle. Which to me is real crazy. I don't know why you wouldn't just drive the fucking motorcycle from time to time. How long could you ride on the back? How long could you ride in a tank before you said, fuck it, I'll take the wheel? That didn't look that hard. And you just sit there. When you see these couples going cross country too, I can sort of get the appeal of riding the motorcycle cross country. But sitting on the back, I mean, that just seems so boring. That's like being in a car, but windy. Being in a car with no windows to roll up, and you can't hear any music. You're just kind of looking around. You must really love your putting your front against your husband's back or whatever. But here's why I liked Mary. She was the worst in the class. She spared me the possible humiliation of being the worst in the class. Because let's face it, it was a strong possibility. Almost everyone in the class had at least been on a motorcycle, whether passenger, driver, or, you know, professional dirt bike racer, who what the fuck is he doing in the class? But she was the worst. She was by far the worst. So we go out to the parking lot, and, you know, we have these little Hondas. Mine was called November Fury. And you have to start it. Now, here's the thing. They had an acronym for starting the bike, which was Fine C, which was easy for me to remember because I just thought of it as a really crude way to compliment a woman. You've got a real fine cunt. Fine C. And then, you know, since then, it's been imprinted. I'll never forget Fine C. I'll be on my deathbed saying, Fine C. And they'll wonder if I'm talking about a sled or how to start a motorcycle or a woman's vaginal parts. So, you know, you do all these stupid drills. You drive around. And, you know, they do this stuff, too. They'll say, if you say, oh, I'm going to grab the throttle, they'll say, no, no, no. We roll or twist the throttle. We do not pull the throttle. We roll or twist. Okay, that's really, yeah, okay. Twist it, roll it, pull it, whatever. Because they want you to be gentle. You know, you do these drills, you ride figure eights and all this shit. Here's the thing about the motorcycle class that I think I would recommend it. Because the thing you learn in the motorcycle class is the thing that people don't ever learn, which is how to ride a motorcycle slow, which is way fucking harder. It's pretty easy to ride a motorcycle on the highway going 65 because you just kind of sit there. There's not really much to do. It's when you get in a parking lot and you're going 5 and you're trying to manipulate this motorcycle into a parking spot, that's when shit gets crazy. You're trying to make a real tight turn to get out of somewhere. You know, doing a U-turn where you've only got 2 lanes to make the turn. I mean, you're going to be glad you took this fucking class, believe me. So we took the riding test. And I passed the riding test. I put my foot down on one of the things, which I'd never done. So it's very frustrating. I'm not a good test taker. Not a good physical test taker. You know. However, we took the written test, and as a nerd, I aced that shit. I didn't miss one question on the written test. You know, what percent does your front brake provide? 70%, everybody. There you go. So, you know, I got that and went and got my fucking driver's license the next day, my motorcycle license. I'm telling you. So I got this motorcycle license in October. And I had dreams about riding motorcycle. Frequent dreams that I was on that bike. Going down the highway. Da-da-da. Gonna go to highway. I don't know that song very well. Dreaming all the time. And the week after, 2 weeks after, I drove up to visit that girl. And it was an 8-hour drive. It's a long drive, but it's scenic. It's nice. And I was just thinking, man, you know, she's going to be up here for 4 years. But hey, this could work out. Maybe I'll get that fucking bike and I'll drive the motorcycle up here. That'll be pretty sweet, right? It'll be okay. Which is a little bit tough because, you know, it snows there 9 months out of the year or whatever. So it's a tough call. Real tough call. But, you know, I drove up there, I saw her, we visited, it was really nice. And I thought, this could still work out. You know, I'm a new man, a motorcycle man, a man with a relationship that matters. It was some scary shit, I'll tell you what. It was the first time I'd ever seen somebody not that I was an old man or something, but it was one of the first times I thought, well, if this person got impregnated, I wouldn't shoot myself. Which I know that doesn't sound like a huge compliment, but believe me, I always used to ask my friends this question. Would you rather have a baby or lose an arm? And I always thought the right answer was lose the arm. Because I'd say, fuck it, you'd get used to it. Eventually, it'd be like you never even had the other arm. But the baby, that's the rest of your life. And, yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, and now, of course, I'd still rather lose the arm. Because who's going to help me raise this baby? I can't be a single father. This is not going to turn out cute. It's not going to be Curly Sue. It's going to be horrible. This kid's going to grow up to be a piece of shit. But, you know, these things that were once scary were less scary because I had a partner. So, at this, you know, after a while, I thought to myself, I should buy a motorcycle. Because here's the thing, you can get a cheap motorcycle for somewhere in the range of $2,000. I thought I could save that much. I could do this. So I start browsing Craigslist about every day. And I'm browsing for these 250cc motorcycles, which, you know, when you look at 250cc bikes, basically every Craigslist ad is vaguely insulting because it'll say, oh yeah, my wife used this as her starter bike, or I got this for my daughter and she really loved it. But I said, I just want to ride the bike. It's going to be great. Now, looking for motorcycles, I don't know if any of you have ever actually looked for something on Craigslist. By that, I don't mean been on Craigslist and looked around at what's there. I mean, you have an item that you want and you look on Craigslist. Everyone on the Craigslist is a complete fucking idiot. I'm going to just pull up right now Craigslist. And we're going to just look at some of the things on Craigslist under the motorcycle for sale section. Let's see what we've got here. Okay, cylinder head. Fits 98 Honda CR250 for $40. It needs repair. Flat edge that meets the cylinder is marred. Maybe if you have a grinder or some tool to make the surface smooth again, call. So if you want a cylinder head that fits one model of motorcycle from 1998 and also you happen to be a mechanic who wants to fix it, you're in luck. The rest of us are thinking, what the fuck is this bullshit? Let's see. Oh, here we go. Beautiful custom painted 2008 Vulcan 1500 Classic for a mere $7,000. And I'll give you a guess what the custom paint is. Is it an eagle head popping up above an American flag? You bet. Is the chrome engine part capturing the woman taking the picture, and is she wearing one of the worst dresses I've ever seen? You did it again. How did you know? So, you know, you've always got those options. Let's see. Ah, here we go. These are fun. Badass mini chopper. Now, when someone says mini chopper, this thing has the wheels of a wheelbarrow. It looks completely crazy. 49cc motor, just tune, electric start, flies with a 200-plus adult on it. I mean, there's a certain thing you can tolerate. I could have ridden a scooter. I probably could have done that and enjoyed it. However, this is too far. This is like a pocket bike. Your ass is about 8 inches from the ground, you know, and your knees are up by your face. You look like a complete asshole. This is for a child. I don't know why. I don't even know how this comes to be made. What fucking factory said, I'm going to crank some of these out. People are really going to like this. Oh, here we go. Two helmets for $100. You can see the grime in them from the picture. Ugly as shit. Here are some pipes you could put on a Harley Sportster, just sitting on someone's wood floor. Here we've got, oh good, a snowmobile. That's exactly a motorcycle. And here's what people do. They put like Kawasaki X2521. And you say, well, I don't know what that is. So then you look, you see, oh, Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? Here's a Honda Shadow. That would have been a bike I would have enjoyed. That would have been probably perfect. The Honda Shadow 750. Almost 5,000 miles. That's pretty great. $5,000, which I didn't have. So after going through this terrible, terrible, terrible problem, I finally found one. I found one that was nearby, and I thought, hey, I can afford this. It was like $1,500, and I would use the extra $500 to get some new tires and stuff. So I go out there to test drive it. Now, keep in mind, I took my test probably in September or October. This is fucking March. So I've ridden a motorcycle a total of maybe 4 hours in my life. And now it's been, what's the math, 5 months? And I'm going to go test ride one in the snow. Whole street was covered in snow. I was fucked. I was just hoping that he didn't watch me ride it and say, like, this guy does not know what the hell he's doing. So I went and bought it. The guy turned out, yeah, he was a priest, it turns out. He said he just got it to cruise around, but he was, you know, going to sell it so him and his son could split the money and all that shit. So I buy it from him in cash. I bring him $1,500 in cash. This is the second time I've bought a vehicle on Craigslist. And as if you didn't need more proof that I am not any kind of man, handing over that much cash to someone, I just start shaking. You know, I can hear my heartbeat from two towns over as I'm counting out bills, giving them to this fucking guy, the priest. He's probably thinking, Jesus, what the hell's wrong with you? It felt like a drug deal, except he was a priest and I was just sitting in his living room amongst all his church shit. So I had a fucking bike. I finally did it. I had my own motorcycle to call my own. I took good care of it. Yeah, I got new tires on it and changed the oil and everything, did that myself, put on some bags, did all this shit. And the hard thing was, though, when you buy a motorcycle in March in Colorado, I mean, there's not a ton of snow on the ground, but my bike is what you would call cold-blooded, which means it's got to run for at least 10 minutes, full open and richer in order to actually be able to go. Otherwise, it just stalls. And so I would ride around the neighborhood and stuff trying to learn how to ride, and I'd be wearing pants on top of pants on top of pajama pants and two pairs of socks and all these jackets and shit. Because something you don't really notice when you're just riding around the parking lot 10 miles an hour is it's fucking cold. If it's 30 degrees out and you're driving 30 miles an hour, you're in a 30 mile an hour wind in 30 degree weather, you're fucking freezing your ass off. But it was great. I was having the best time. I got to tell you, riding around, even just in the neighborhood and then riding up. Eventually, I got the courage to ride over to the parking lot where I took the class, thinking, all right, I can ride through here. Then I can do some of the things we did in the class. This motherfucker, this guy driving the security car, would just follow me around. It was on this college campus, and there's this little windy road. So I would go there and I'd do some weaving and try and do some figure eights and shit just to practice. And it's, you know, it's night and there are no houses. And he would just pull over in the parking lot and just kind of sit there. So then I would get on the road to go to around the campus to the other side. This motherfucker would follow me around. So what I started doing, I'd go there at night and do some shit. And then when he followed me, I'd go over to the other parking lot, but then I'd haul ass as soon as I was out of sight. And then as he was coming towards me, all of a sudden, I'd be shooting off the other way back to the original parking lot. I was pretty much an outlaw fighting the law versus the cops. This is the classic biker story. So after a while, the big rides that I did were from my house to my girlfriend's house, which is a great ride. It was, I don't know, 20 miles away or something, and it's you can take these country roads, and it was so great. I would just sort of be riding, having a great time. I'd get there smelling disgusting like gasoline, and I don't know if I've ever been happier, honestly. Those were great times. Get there, and you'd think, like, I had an adventure. You had a little mini adventure. Then you're at your girlfriend's house. That's great. Then you go home. And so, of course, at some point, she wanted to ride on the back. Now, here's a problem when you ride a 250cc motorcycle. This is pretty much the smallest motorcycle. When you add two humans to it, the thing is fucking hard as fuck to drive. Because the two people on it weigh almost as much as the entire motorcycle. It was terrible when we rode together. It was horrible. But what do you say? I didn't want to be like, hey, fatso. You know, because it's not like she was a huge fatso. It's just difficult when you double the weight or, you know, add. Even if she weighed 100 pounds, that would be a lot to add onto that tiny little bike. So we went for one ride on it together. But it was bad, but very memorable. I had a real hard time making this turn. I didn't know if I was going to make this real wide turn. But I had fun. I don't know. There's something about, it's just something about riding a motorcycle is really great. I recommend it. Just try it. I'm not saying you got to make a lifestyle out of it. But it's like this whole weird thing because you're on the road. But then when you stop, you put your fucking feet down right on the pavement. And you're looking around at everybody in their car and you're thinking, I don't know. I'm practically just running alongside these cars or something. It's very strange. It's very interesting stuff. Also, I recommend if you're a shitty rider like me, the full face helmet, because then no one can see who you are. And they don't attribute your mistakes to you. So then, you know, this lady and I split up, as these things will happen, and I was very crushed. Something I know about myself is that, in a way, sometimes when things are really bad for me, it's freeing, if I can say that. I'm trying to think. Here's an example. So when I was probably in, I don't know, man, like, sorry, this is terrible. When I was probably in middle school, I had a little bit of what you might call ADD in a way. Now, I don't want to get all crazy about it, but here's what it was. I had all these rituals that I did, you know, things I had to do before I could go to bed. You had to touch this doorknob a certain number of times, all that kind of crap. And it was a really weird thing. I was compelled to do it. Because here's what would happen. If I didn't do it, I would think something bad's going to happen. I didn't really know what was going to happen, but you just get this sense that something terrible is going to happen. It'll be your fault. And it's much easier to just do this ritual, you know, run up and down the stairs 7 times, than it is to deal with whatever the horrible thing's going to be. However, I don't know, a couple years later, I got real down, as I tend to do. And I got so down that honestly, I think the way that I pretty much got out of that problem was because I felt so shitty that I thought, there's really nothing bad that can happen to me that I don't think I can handle. I mean, this is as bad as I can imagine my life being at this point. I couldn't imagine anything being worse. It was just that bad. I mean, you know, and when you're young, it's weird because I think the worst thing you can imagine is dying, right? I mean, that's like the worst thing you can possibly imagine happening to you is death. But then I don't know, when you get real hard on yourself, you think, ah, shit, there's a lot worse shit that could happen than that, right? A lot worse events that could destroy your life and make you miserable. And that's what happened to me. Here we go. Episode 37 from November 4th, 2011. So there you go. If you want to look back and you can hear all about this. So the thing is, breaking up with this girl, all of a sudden, I was not worried about riding this bike on the highway, wherever. Because I'm not going to say that I wanted to die, but I wasn't worried about dying. because I didn't think there was a whole lot going on that if I, you know, it's not like if I died, I'd be thinking, oh, God, I didn't do this and that. It wouldn't really matter. So in a weird way, being super depressed can, I don't know, can be a little freeing. I'm not going to endorse it. It's probably not the best way to go, but it's what happens. So I rode the shit out of that thing the rest of the fall and in the winter. I remember riding it home in the rain a few times and all that good stuff. And you know, I took care of it all winter, covered it up real nice and took care of the oil and did all that stuff and treated the leather and did all kinds of stuff to it to keep it going. You know, because it was like my most valuable possession in a lot of ways. And then so the winter came and went, and then it was summer. I rode the bike all summer. My car was in the shop for a while, and it was great because I rode the bike. Great little side story. I told this on the show before, but it's been a long time. Probably a year or so. So my mom was driving this old car, and it was broken down, and it was time for her to buy a new car. It'd been time for a while, but now it was really time. So she went, she bought the car, but they didn't have it there that day, so she had to get back home. She actually had to get to a car rental place, rent a car for the weekend. So she calls me up, and she says, "Can you pick me up?" And I say, "Well, I can, but I'm on my motorcycle." And she, I don't know if she would... She was waiting at the bus stop. I don't know if she had just had the longest day of her life or if she was just feeling, maybe she had, you know, what I have. She was feeling depressed about buying this car, the buyer's remorse, and was like, fuck it, I'll ride the motorcycle. She was the one who, when I got the motorcycle, here's what she said. I said, "Mom, I bought a motorcycle." And she said, "Can you afford it?" And I said, "Yeah, I think so." And she said, "No, can you afford to put wheelchair ramps in your apartment for when you crash that motorcycle?" And I thought, I mean, I think the landlord has to do that, but I see what you're getting at. So one of my big victories, one of those big victories you have over your parents, was picking her up on the bike and driving her to the car rental place. Only time in her life she's ever been on a motorcycle. Pretty good. Pretty fun. You know, it's the second time I'd driven someone on the motorcycle, but since then... Since the first time, I'd had so much more experience that I was prepared. I knew what to expect. You know, I knew it was going to need a little more gas, and I was going to have to be a little more careful on the turn, but to not be stingy with the gas, which she did not like, but I wasn't trying to make it crazy for her. But everything went great. She got the car. It was all good. So fall rolls around, and I meet a new, extremely nice, great lady. And we're going to take this trip to Utah, you know, for a bunch of reasons. And every fall rolls around, and for some reason there's a coincidence of bills that I have to pay where I get real fucked, and that's my lowest time of money, is starting about now until, I don't know, winter. And, you know, then the winter I'm happy again, so I don't have to buy things at Target to improve my mood. So I'm getting low on the monies. Also, the big factor, got these fucking braces put on. Okay? You make all these payments for the braces. They cost money, boy. I could have saved up for that Harley if I could have paid for it like I'm paying for these braces. I'd saved this money. I could have done that monies. Ugh, that's depressing. I don't know why I hadn't thought that before, but it's very depressing to think I could have a fucking Harley instead of braces. I wish I had thought of that. I should have looked more carefully at what my options were. Anyway, I was real low on money, and we were going to take this trip. And I thought to myself, Pete, you're not a two-vehicle man. You don't need two vehicles. You're not living that lifestyle. And it was a little bit of guilt. You know how when people have a dog and no yard and they think, man, I wish I had a yard for this dog to run around in? You know, I wanted a bike or a garage for my little bike. I wanted to take care of it, and I couldn't. I couldn't provide for it. my son, Nick and Nora Jr. I couldn't provide the lifestyle that it really needed to thrive. So between that, my own feelings of I didn't deserve it, sort of, and also needed the money, put it up on Craigslist. So now I got the opposite end of the spectrum. I got the people inquiring about it. And here's what happens when I discovered when you put a motorcycle on Craigslist. People email you with the most asinine requests you've ever heard in your life. You know, I put up every bit of information. I must have put up 5 images with the bike. I did everything, man. Some guy would email me and say, I live, you know, 150 miles away. Do you think you could drive it here so I could take a look at it? And I'd say, no, I don't think so. Should I spend my whole day driving so you can take a look at a motorcycle? I don't know. Absolutely not. You know, or somebody would say, do you have a trailer so you can bring it to where I am? And I'd say, no. No, I'd sell the trailer. I wouldn't sell the fucking motorcycle if I had a trailer and a motorcycle and a car. Fucking idiot. So finally I get in touch with this guy and he comes and looks at it. He's been riding for a long time. He's buying it for his daughter, you know, because that's the kind of bike, that's the kind of badass hog I was riding. Appropriate for a daughter who's just learning how to ride motorcycles. So he comes, looks at it, and they like it, and then they're going to come back and buy it. But we'd run the battery down. So I was desperately trying to fix it before they came, because I was like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to be able to get this. Because here's the thing. Here's what's so bad about me, I think. One of the things. Here's the one problem I have, and once I solve this, it'll be good. You know, I was in this early part where I'd met this new lady and I really liked her and we were going to go on this fun trip. And I didn't want to be broke. I didn't want to be panicking, running to the bathroom at the restaurant to look at my Wells Fargo app and say, oh God, I hope she doesn't want a dessert. And selling the bike would make all the difference. I would be cushioned. And then, you know, I get paid in the next couple days. Everything was going to be totally awesome. But I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me that I couldn't just say, just explain to her, hey, here's the situation. I got these braces, which I'm sure you've noticed. Da-da-da-da. It's going to be tight. I got to be careful. But I don't know. You want to be nice. You want other people to have a nice time. You don't want them to worry. So, I don't know. I mean, what am I saying? I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So I sell the bike. Off it goes. Oh, so the guy comes, the battery's dead, but he kickstarted it, which I didn't even know was possible because, again, not really a man. And they drive it off, and that was it. The girl comes back and gives me the license plate when I'm at work, and that's the last of the bike. You know, which kind of brings us to today. And then, you know, you sell your motorcycle in October, and then you miss it. But then it's December, January, February, March, and you don't really think about it that much. Because it's, you know, it's cold, it takes forever to start the bike, you're not really into it, all that stuff. And then it gets to be April, May. You see all these assholes on their bikes. You're thinking, I used to be one of those assholes. You know, back when I was a happy man, I was one of these assholes. But you don't have it anymore. I don't know. You sell off the things that make you happy because you think that that's not what makes you happy anymore. And then it's gone. And then what do? Where do you go from there? What's the next thing? I don't think I can return my braces. That's a problem. Faking my own death is a possibility. I don't know. If anyone's got any ideas, that'd be great. But it's sort of a... I don't know. It was such a weird experience because this motorcycle thing kind of bookended these two relationships. And I took the class and got it at the beginning of the one, and that one ended, but the motorcycle's still there with me, and then the other one starts, and then, you know, I get rid of it, and that relationship ends too, and then you've got no relationships and no motorcycles. You have nothing. Nothing. Now what am I going to do? Take a class to learn how to ride a dune buggy or something? I mean, where do you go from here? I don't know. I don't have the answer. But it's, I don't know, maybe I'll get back to it. I'd love to get back to it someday. And I don't mean that in the way of where people say, oh, I used to do this when I was young and now I've never done it for 15 years. I'd like to get back to it. I mean, I'd like to get back to it tomorrow if I could. What I wouldn't give. What I wouldn't give. Although, I don't know, at the same time, it was pretty wishy-washy, but the trip we took to Utah was real nice. Maybe I needed that too. Maybe sometimes that's what you need. Maybe you need, I don't know. I don't know what I need. This is probably, again, I'll add that to the list of problems. I don't know what the hell I'm looking for. I don't know what I need. You know, you think you're a guy who's going to just take a motorcycle class because your girlfriend's in college. And then you think you're going to drive it to her house. And then you're going to think, you think you'll just drive it because you don't care if you're alive. And then you think you'll sell it because I'm not that guy anymore. I don't ride this. I'd rather go on a nice trip with my girlfriend. And then later you just think all those things I thought were wrong. None of that was right. None of it worked out. So what's next? What's next for Pete? You might be asking yourself. I have no fucking idea, you guys. I don't know. I don't know where to go. Don't know what to do. You know, I don't have a motorcycle, so I don't even know how to get there if I did know where to go. But hey, I've got a fucking microphone, I guess. So that's something. Anyway, that was my long-awaited tale of my motorcycle. You know, I think also, that was a nice ending that I just ruined, isn't it? You know, my last relationship I ended because, honestly, I was so depressed that I couldn't even do boyfriend stuff. I wasn't even really sure I could do normal human stuff anymore. It just didn't seem, there didn't seem to be much point. And I gotta say, I really wish I had that fucking motorcycle right then. Because the last time I felt that way was when I rode the motorcycle and things got better. It gave me something to do. It gave me something to work on. But also it was something where you could think, but not think too much. It's really the perfect way to work out some of your issues. But this time I'm doing it without, and it's much harder. It's much harder. I don't know. Maybe instead of a therapist, everybody should just get a motorcycle. Maybe that's the takeaway here. Yeah, work it out. You in the open road. You and the wild hogs. All right. I think that's everything I got to say. I hope there was something enjoyable about this. I don't know. I don't know if that's interesting or fun for anybody. It's all been rolling around in my head forever, so it just seems like a 100-year-old story to me. But maybe it's news to you. Anyway, thanks for listening. Keep listening. You know, we won't do all these sad shows forever, I promise. All right.